And thank you, Krista. Hebrews chapter number 11 in our Bibles this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11. Continuing our series this morning on living by faith. Living by faith. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. We looked at Abel and we said Abel worshiped by faith. We looked at Enoch and said Enoch walked by faith. We looked at Noah last week and we learned that Noah warned by faith. This morning I want us to look at Abraham, and when I see Abraham as he's described in this passage of Scripture, Abraham was a man that was wholehearted by faith. Wholehearted by faith. And that's the title of the message this morning. Wholehearted by faith. I trust as God speaks to your heart that you're making faith decisions. God wants us to make faith decisions as we're presented with truth, as we see truth and as we see our life, where our life does not line up with truth. God wants us to say, Lord, by faith, I'm going to trust You to allow my life to line up with the truth of the Word of God. That's what God wants, and that's where the blessing is. Remember Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 8, where the Bible describes Abraham and his faith. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse number 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Skip down, if you would, to verse number 17, where they pick up the discussion again, or the description again, of Abraham's faith. Verse 17, the Bible says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that You would help us this morning as we look at Abraham, especially regarding his faith. Lord, I yield myself to You this morning. I realize and acknowledge that I'm desperately in need of Your power. Lord, without You is nothing. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would anoint me and use me to proclaim Your truth. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us as Your people to make faith decisions. And Lord, I pray that You would help every one of us to be wholehearted by faith as Abraham was, in Jesus' name. Amen. The date was Monday, January 9th, 1956. A news flash alerted the world, five men missing in Aucca territory. A team of missionary pioneers trying to make peaceful contact with an infamous tribe of Indians in Ecuador had failed to make a scheduled radio call. For almost a full day, no word had come from their camp on the Caray River, which they named Palm Beach. Then a hovering pilot reported the badly damaged plane at the camp. This was followed by a gruesome confirmation on Wednesday, January 11th, when the first body was spotted in the river. Though a search and rescue team was quickly formed, the discovery of more bodies quickly changed the mission from rescue to retrieval and burial. By Friday of that week, the team reached the missionaries' campsite and hurriedly buried four of the bodies. The men had died violently from repeated spear wounds and machete cuts. The fifth body, Ed McCulley, was never located after being identified on the beach, but then washed away by the river. Five widows and eight orphans mourned the deaths and looked to God for comfort and direction. The world witnessed in stunned amazement. Shockwaves from the tragedy traveled around the globe. Eventually, thousands of Christians identified the news of the deaths of five young men as the turning point in their lives. In her book, Through the Gates of Splendor, written a year after the deaths, Jim Elliot's widow, Elizabeth, describes some of the remarkable early results from what seemed like a tragic waste of life. The places of service vacated by those men were filled many times over by young men and women moved and motivated by their selfless sacrifice. 50 years later, the effects continue to be felt. Within 2 years of their deaths, Jim Elliot's widow and Nate Saint's sister made a friendly and lasting contact with the Wodanians. Bible translation into the Wodanian language began, "One by one, the men who committed the murder became believers in the one who sent the missionaries to reach them." Steve Saint spent much of his childhood among the Wodanians, despite the fact that they had killed his father. Steve became an adopted son of the tribe and eventually took his own family to live for a time among them. The painful arrival of the gospel among that violent people worked a miracle of transformation. When we read the story of Jim Elliot and Pete Fleming and Ed McCauley, Nate Saint and Roger Udarian, we see five men that gave their lives 50 or so years ago for the cause of the gospel and for the cause of Jesus Christ. When we read that story and we read of the accounts of those that made decisions after hearing of these five men that were killed, we can't help but think, what a tremendous miracle, what a tremendous work of God. When we look at their lives, we see five men that were wholeheartedly dedicated to the work of God. It didn't matter to them what happened to them. They were wholehearted for God. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, they were wholehearted in their service for the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to give up their lives, and obviously God had them to do that. When we look at Abraham in Hebrews chapter number 11, and we look at the description of Abraham, I see a man that by faith was wholehearted in his service to God. He was wholehearted in trusting God and believing that God would use him and that God would follow through with that which He promised. You know, folks, it is vital in the day and age that we live that we as believers are wholehearted, 100%, lock, stock, and barrel, everything, all about us, we are wholehearted, surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God that we don't live in a day of persecution or much persecution, or we should say persecution like they know in the Bible. We may say, oh, I get persecuted when I pass out of the gospel tract. That's not persecution at all. Persecution, as we've seen in the Bible and as we see from missionaries, and we see that, we can say thank God for the free country that we live in and the free church that we can worship in. But the fact of the matter is, the day may come sooner than later where we must suffer persecution, where we have to serve God undercover. But the fact of the matter is, whether we suffer persecution or whether we live in a free country, God wants every believer to be wholehearted, sold out to Him in every area of our life. And we see that as we look at the life of Abraham. You say, Pastor, how can I tell if my life is wholehearted, sold out, lock, stock, and barrel, everything to God? I want to give you three tests from the life of Abraham. Number one, look at verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. Test number one is this. Are you willing to go anywhere? Abraham was a man that was wholehearted by faith because he trusted God with everything, and we see it in his willingness to go anywhere God called him to go. By faith, he went to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Now let's take our Bibles and we need to look a little bit in the book of Genesis. And we need to go back to Genesis chapter number 11. And while you're turning there, I will say Abraham was willing to leave his family. He was willing to leave his family. He was willing to go to a place that he didn't really know exactly where he would go. He was willing to serve God, to follow God, because of his faith. Look at Genesis 11, and verse number 29. The Bible says, And Abraham and Nahor took them wives unto the took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren; she had no child. And Terah took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, obviously, Genesis chapter number 12, which we're going to read right now, is obviously prior to this. He knows where he's going in this passage of Scripture. But the fact of the matter is, you see here Abraham's family. Abraham is willing to leave those people with which he loved and knew, those people with which he grew up. The Bible says in Genesis 12 and verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country," the place where he grew up, the place that was familiar to him, his native country, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred," and from thy kindred, those family members that he knew and loved, "and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Abraham was willing to go anywhere God would have him to go. He was willing to leave everyone and everybody. He was willing to leave those that helped him spiritually. And obviously, he was willing to leave those that hindered him spiritually. Turn over to Joshua chapter number 24, and we'll see that Abraham left. He left an idolatrous country. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 2 and 3. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." He was willing to leave his native country. He was willing to leave the security and willing to leave his hometown because God had called him to do it. I'll never forget when God called me to leave Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and head to Greenville, South Carolina, and study for Bible college. I went there, or agreed to go there, at a weak moment when my mom and my pastor pressured me spiritually and probably a little humanly. And finally I said, I'll go. My first year I kind of ran from the Lord just a little bit. I knew that God wanted to do something with my life, but I decided that what He wanted to do was for me to be a math major. And I went to Temple University, followed my older brother who God called there, and studied math, and it was at Temple University that God got a hold of my life and got a hold of my heart. And I realized, though I wanted to teach math in a Christian school, and I wanted to give my life, my whole summer to the Lord in Christian camp, that wasn't the will of God for my life. God wanted me to leave home, mother and father, a close family, the home that I knew, the church that I knew, and He wanted me to go miles down the street, miles and miles down past the street, all the way to South Carolina, and study there. I never forget the day the pastor picked me up in his van, and he was bringing some other students there. And I lay on the floor of his van. I was kind of wiped out. And I lay there as a young person wondering, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Wondering as I felt the sickness in my stomach that I was leaving my mom and my dad and the security of everything that I knew. The fact of the matter is, God wants us to be willing to go anywhere. Abraham was willing to go anywhere. Now you say, okay, as I look at my life, am I wholehearted? Am I willing to go anywhere God would have me to go? You know, sometimes we get a good job and we get established and we get our roots down and we think, hey, I'm just going to serve God here, and praise the Lord for those that serve God local and stay by the stuff. But sometimes God wants folks to go, to be willing to go to the regions beyond. We're thankful for Brother Matt and for God's hand on his life. And this week he's headed to Peru, and we're going to pray for him. But the fact of the matter is, what if God called you? What if God spoke to you and said to you, hey, I want you to go on a mission trip. Hey, I want you to be a missionary. Hey, I want you in your older years, now that you're retired, to go to a foreign country and to be a help and to be a support. The fact of the matter is, are we willing to go anywhere? Abraham, by faith, was called to leave his hometown and go to a place which he didn't know. Turn to Genesis chapter number 12. We must ask ourselves this question: why was Abraham willing to go anywhere? Abraham was willing to go anywhere because Abraham wanted to be in the place where God's promises were. It's interesting. God says to Abraham in verse number 1, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from the security in the relationships of the people that you know, and go to a place that I'll show thee," in verse 2, "and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abraham wanted to be where the promises of God were. And Abraham understood that if God was calling him from Ur to Canaan, and God said, "I'll bless you here," and God said, "I'll multiply your seed here," and God said, "I'll make your name great," and God said, "This is where the blessing is going to be," Abraham said, "You know what? I'm done. I'm done with her. I'm going over here because I want to be where the blessing of God is." And you know, the fact of the matter, folks, in our Christian lives, the desire of our heart ought to be where the blessing of God is. It ought to be to live in such a way and act in such a way to where we're receiving the blessing of God. What is the greatest desire of your heart? The greatest desire of our heart ought to be to have the smile of the Savior. It ought to be to have Jesus to be blessed, Jesus to bless us. It ought to be that Jesus be happy with us. Abraham was willing to go anywhere. He wanted to be in the place of God's promises. But turn back to Hebrews chapter number 11, and I want to give you the second test, the second description really that we see in Abraham's life. Verse number 9, the Bible says this: "By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Not only was Abraham willing to go anywhere, but number 2, the question we must ask as we look at Abraham's life: are you willing to do anything? Are you willing to do anything? Abraham was willing to do whatever God called him to do. The Scripture says he was a sojourner. He didn't have an established place. He was a wanderer. He was to travel from Ur to Canaan. He was a sojourner. He was willing to travel the distance. Turn with me, if you would, back to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12, and we see that he was willing really to do anything that God called him to do. Genesis chapter number 12, and we'll pick up where we left off here. "And Abraham," verse 5, "took Sarah's wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance they had gathered." Verse number 6, "And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh." Obviously, the path that he took was really along the Euphrates River, but that didn't exempt him from having to travel through the desert. Think about this. Abraham had to take his family, he had to take his flocks and his cattle, and he had to be willing to travel not only the distance, the furthest away, but he had to be willing to travel through the desert. He had to be willing to leave the comforts of home. It wasn't that Abraham could get on Expedia and find him a flight or some other internet provider for plane tickets and say, "Hey, we're going to get a bunch of plane tickets and fly." It wasn't that Abraham could call a taxi and say, "Hey, I need a taxi with air conditioning and nice comfortable seats." Abraham couldn't get in his RV and travel across the desert and load up all his animals. He had to suffer the discomforts of traveling from Ur to Canaan. He had to probably spend much of his time walking, maybe some on camels, some animals. But the fact of the matter is, there was discomfort. There was the heat. There was the fatigue. There was all that goes along with the traveling. Look at verse number 6 at the end. The Scripture says, "And the Canaanite was then in the land." Abraham had to be willing to travel and was willing to travel in unsafe territory. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Canaanites lived there. The fact of the matter is often when one would travel a distance like that, they'd run into wild animals. And wild animals would attack them, or they'd run into robbers, people that were after something quick, or they'd run into the enemy, and the enemy would come and pounce upon them. The fact of the matter is, Abraham was willing to do anything. Butler says this with regards to Abraham. Well, I don't have what Butler says. It's here somewhere. Here it is right here. Butler says this, which I think is very interesting. Abraham's preservation in Canaan was nothing short of a miracle. I never thought about this as he traveled. It was nothing short of a miracle. It emphasized the protection of faith. Abraham's people lived in tents surrounded by the Canaanites, who were known as peaceful, loving, benevolent people. They were vicious, who were not known as peaceful, loving, benevolent people, They were vicious, cruel, and unholy. Yet, like Daniel in the lion's den, Abraham and his people dwelt safely and unmolested by the Canaanites. The fact that the Canaanites did not attack him as an intruder and drive him out or rob him of his possessions and kill him and his people is a mystery explained only by the fact that God can marvelously protect those who live by faith. If God orders you to the jungle, He can tame the jungle for you. And then it says, however, don't order yourself to the jungle in foolish fleshly pride, or you'll be destroyed by the jungle. For it is only faith, not foolishness, that provides protection. Abraham was willing to sleep in a tent. I mean, when we travel and we have to stop and you have to stay somewhere. Now, we have six kids, so we try to go the whole way. 15, 25. We're professionals, my family, at making a 10-hour trip, stretching that out to 20. I don't know how we do that, but when you travel with lots of kids, you try to travel the distance. But some of you that don't have kids and you drive for a little while and you say, you know what, I'm tired. You tired? Yeah. Hey, let's go stay over here in the Marriott, you know, or the Motel 6, you know, the lights are on, next to the Cracker Barrel. And we'll pull in here and we'll make sure the air conditioning is just set. And we'll take a nice shower and we'll lay in a nice comfortable bed. And then we'll get up and we'll have some eggs and some bacon and some coffee. And then when we feel ready, we'll get in our car and we'll travel a little bit more. And however long it takes us, it takes us. That wasn't what Abraham had. Abraham didn't have the modern conveniences that we did. He was in a tent. And he was moving this caravan along in tents. He was willing to do anything that God would have him to do. Willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. The question we must ask ourselves is this. What about our willingness? What about our willingness to do what God has called us to do? Why was Abraham willing to do anything? Look at Hebrews 11 and verse number 10. Hebrews 11 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Genesis 12 gives you more of the account of the tents and the famine that he faced. And he was willing to face famine and live in tents. Why? Because he was looking to the place of God's presence. He looked to a place. He looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker was God. This world was not his home. He wasn't interested in building up some great big empire. His eyes were on the Lord. He said, "Lord, I'm willing to do anything that you want me to do." You ever find yourself wanting comfortable Christianity? I'm always under conviction. We get the voice of the martyrs here. If you get that, I'd encourage you to read it. And you read stories and accounts of people that like Nate Saint and these missionaries that go out and are willing and they're killed and they're hung on a cross and they're burned at the stake and they sit in prison. And you read that and you think, what kind of Christianity we have here in America? I mean, man, we've got everything. You know, if you're hungry, you drive by the fast food. You know, you got the pretzel factory right down the street. I'll tell you, they give you, you get a coupon, you get six pretzels for $1.50. Whew! You have to use discipline and say, I'm not going back over to that soft pretzel factory. But the fact of the matter is, you get a little twinge of something, and what do? We're in America. You get online. You know, you find it fast. But we have convenience Christianity often in our country. We really do. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, God may send some difficult times our way to strengthen us in our faith, to strengthen us in our Christianity. But the fact of the matter is, are we willing to do anything that God's called us to do? Sometimes, unfortunately, we hear a message about passing on the track or leading someone to Christ or taking a stand, and we're not willing to do it. That's absolutely nothing compared to what some of our Christian brethren and sistren, our sisters, whatever the word is, are doing overseas. The fact of the matter is, Abraham was willing to suffer all the discomforts, to leave it all. He was willing to do it because he was wholehearted in his service to God. He was absolutely lock, stock, and barrel, completely 100% his. You know, a church, and I thank the Lord for this church, and we've not had any revival meetings here yet. We have some coming up in April, so I can preach a little bit about this. A church has a revival meeting. I trust our church will be faithful in our revival meetings. But sometimes the church has a revival meeting, and the fact of the matter is, some people say, you know what? I can't go because I got my latest television show, or I got this, or I got that. We make up excuses. Comfortable Christianity. We're talking about wholehearted. We're talking about wholehearted in our lives and in our faith for Jesus Christ. Abraham was wholehearted. He was willing to live in a tent, sleep in a tent, and suffer whatever he needed to suffer in obedience to God. Wholehearted. Number two, are you willing to do anything? Now I want you to see number three. Look at verse 17 of Hebrews 11. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. When he received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. Test number three is this. Are you willing to give everything? Are you willing to give everything? Abraham was willing to go anywhere. He was willing to do anything. But he was thirdly willing to give everything. God promised him a son. God gave him a son. We read it in our scripture reading, Genesis chapter number 22. In Isaac, God was going to give and fulfill God's promises to Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 22 with me just for a minute. In Genesis 22, God comes to Abraham and he says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to offer your only son, Isaac. Genesis 22 and verse number 2, the scripture says, and it came, actually verse number 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mount, one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And the scripture says, and Abraham debated, and he tried to play let's make a deal with God. The scripture says Abraham waited a few days and then said, well, I guess I better do this. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Abraham immediately was willing to give everything to God. The next morning, after God said, Abraham, take your son, the next morning, Abraham wakes up early and says, okay, it's time to go. Look at verse number 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. The implication is that I and the lad will both go yonder, and I and the lad will both come back to you. Verse 8, Abraham says to his son, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Do you see the faith of Abraham? You see the faith. God says this to him, and he said, verse number 12, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. Seeing you have not held back anything from me. The fact of the matter is believers, we're wholehearted believers, we're willing to give everything to God. And it is a sad shame that in the lives of many Christians, we're willing to give God this. We're willing to give God this area. But in certain portions of our lives, we hold back and we say, I don't know if I want to give God my kids because God may send them to Africa or God may send them over there to eat tarantulas. I've not known any missionary that stood up here, by the way, and has said they enjoy and have eaten tarantulas. Now, maybe there are some out there, but the fact of the matter is, we get these things in our head and we say, go ahead, Lord, you take them, but don't do this with them. Lord, take my life, but don't do this and this with me. Don't make me have to give the gospel. Don't make me have to give a testimony. Don't make me have to preach. The fact of the matter is, that's not wholehearted. It's not wholehearted. Abraham loved Isaac. He was his most precious possession. He was promised from God. And Abraham knew that God was going to bless him through Isaac. But Abraham said to God, if you want him, he's my most precious possession you've given to me. If you want him, I'll give him to you. Abraham knew, by the way, if you look at verse number 19 of Hebrews 11, Abraham knew God's power. Verse number 19 of Hebrews 11, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see, Abraham lived by faith. He had seen God work in Sarah, and that Sarah was too old, and he was too old to even have a son, and he had seen God do that which was impossible. And Abraham understood that if I give everything to God, God will work it out. God's power is able to raise Isaac up. And so he took as a father. I can't imagine this. I can't imagine the emotion that must have been running through Abraham as he put his son on the altar, trusting that God would raise him from the dead. His only son, I have six, and I thank God for my six kids, and I can't imagine laying one on an altar and taking a knife and raising it up, about to slay his own son in obedience to what God asked him to do. And then, of course, God provides the ram. He was willing to give everything. Nothing mattered. God, if you want it, it's yours. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I give it all. Because he trusted God. And because he knew that God would bless him. He wanted more than anything the smile of the Savior. More than anything, Abraham wanted to please God. He was wholehearted by faith. The songwriter said this, by and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-riven hands. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. In the light of that heavenly place, light from his face, beautiful face, in the light of that heavenly place, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. Can I ask a question this morning? Is your life wholehearted for God? Are you willing in the deepest crevices of your heart to go anywhere God would lead you? Are you willing in the deepest crevices of your heart to do anything that God would ask? By the way, God will ask you to go places. You wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, I want to go anywhere you want. I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. I'm willing to give everything. God will immediately, by the power of His Holy Spirit, say, okay, go across the street. Pass out this tract. Go ahead and give this to the Lord. Go ahead and give this to missions. He'll immediately begin working, and He'll begin working by and wants you to obey Him by faith. Are you willing to do anything? Are you willing to give everything wholehearted by faith? That's a description we have of Abraham in Hebrews 11. And God wants us as His people to be the same. Let's bow for prayer.